Let's see. Yes. 256. Going way too far back. Page 354.
Yeah.
Okay. Koi Hirani Asher, let's read the two psukim again. We did most of this in the Farshim. Read it very quickly. Perches Pasuk Aleph and Beis. Koi Hirani Hashem Do Shodid Hashem Shomi. Vinei Kulov Koyitz. And there was a club, there was a basket. A basket, club means a basket, that it was Koyitz filled with a summer fruit. Or according to some of the commentators, it was dried figs. Vayoymer Hashem said, Mota Roya, Omas, what do you see? Voimar kiluv koyitz, a basket of dried figs, a basket of summer fruit. Vayoymer Hashem elai, bo haketz el ami. Hashem says, indeed, you've seen correctly. The ketz, it's a play on the word. It may mean dried fruit. It may mean summer fruit that's put out. Which the reason why fruit is called ketz, the end, is because you wait until it fully ripens, before you, until the end comes, until the end of its development arrives, before you harvest the fruit, and then you put it away until the end of the summer, so that it absorbs the full intensity of the rays of the sun. So there are many elements of ketz, of end, that relate to fruit, especially a certain type of fruit, which you are figs, because you wanted to wait until the end of the summer until it fully extracts all of the best that the sun has to offer. So says Hashem, bo haketz al ami Yisrael le'osef al avar lo. I will no longer avar. We had this already a few times. It's a code word for vayavar Hashem al pana vayigra. I will no longer show them rachamim. Before we go further, we discussed at great length on that day. The shirois, these two words, are an oxymoron. The word helilu means to wail, and shirois means to sing. These two words don't seem to go together very well, and we had many perushim. It means that simply that what used to be songs of joy will now be transformed into yalala. Heichol, can either mean the Beis HaMikdash, or can mean your place of worship, of Avodah Zarah. Bayei Mahu, we had in Perushim, Numa Hashem Elokim, Rav HaPeger, there will be many dead bodies, Mechomokim, Hishlichos, so you have many interpretations. Hishlichos means spread out silence. It's a commodity. Give out everyone the commodity of hos, silence. Everyone should be quiet, no one should talk, because don't challenge Hashem. Don't complain to Hashem. It's not fair. It is fair. HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaTzadik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways are correct. And no one should challenge Hashem. Or Hishlich means Hishlich, pick up. Hishlich means pick up the body and Hos, remove the body. Pick the body up and take the body out. Okay, so now let us... And before we go further, we'll clarify one interesting idea, and that is fruit. Ketz is a very, very unique in that, let's discuss dried figs. What is the custom of dried figs? What did the Chazal tell us about dried figs? After you harvest the figs, you put it on your roof in the summertime, and let it sit in the sun and bake in the sun until it dries out. Now, fruit is a product of the moon. Okay, we all know that the pasuk that says "mimeged to," I don't have the exact psukim on hand, but Chazal, even scientifically, the moon has a major effect on the quality of fruit. But somehow, the gravitational pull of fruit has a very strong effect on the quality of fruit. Okay, this Chazal mentioned this, and it's scientifically 100% true. Google this and learn all about this. Is that in a different time, different depending on the moon? The fruit is going to be the influence of the fruit. The fruit is subject to the influence of the moon. And most fruit, okay, the fruit comes time to harvest. An apple grows on a tree. It begins to bud in the wintertime, it develops, it comes to springtime, the apples are in full blossom, and you harvest the fruit. Then there are fruits that just because the season is over, you're just first getting started. after you harvest the fruit, you then take the fruit and you put the fruit on the roof and you let it bake in the sun. A dried fig, you appreciate what it means, a dried fig. A dried fig has the koyach of the shnei hama'oiros hagedolim. Es hama'or hagedolim emsheles bayom, v'es hama'or hakotolim emsheles balayla. Okay, when Hashem created the world, originally there were two luminaries, the shnei hama'oiros hagedolim, the sun and the moon. We all know the Chazal, what happened, the moon complained to Hashem, it's Ein, Shnei Melochim, the Meshamshim, Bekeser Echad. It can't be that two kings wear the same crown. Hashem said, you are correct. We cannot maintain this principle of Shnei Hamo'oirois HaGedoylim. L'chi Ma'at Yis'atzir, you moon, because you're the one who complained, so you diminish yourself. The moon was very surprised. I'm the one who presented a good argument. Why should I be the one to suffer? Hashem says that's the way it is. Whatever it is, there's an infinite amount of Torah explaining the depth of this Chazal. But Hashem told the moon, to be a for you, diminish yourself. And then there was the Ma'or HaGodol and the Ma'or HaKotom. Starts off two, and then it goes down to also two, but it changes. But one thing that we do learn is that there are two great luminaries. Fruit are primarily under the influence of the moon, not under the influence of the sun. Maybe grain is under the influence of the sun, but not fruit. And there's a lot to say about that. But you know, I was talking about you go to an engagement party. Does anyone ever remember going to an engagement party where they had a sit-down meal where you wash? The sit-down meal and you wash. In my chassidim, make a tenoyim, where they actually sign the documents. Do you ever remember going to an engagement party your entire life where you actually sat down to a meal where you wash for bread and you eat bread by an engagement party? You remember such a thing? Yours? You sat down to a meal? Okay, to get to a restaurant. Okay, that was just a meal in honor. But okay, that's a different type. But when people today customarily they make an engagement party, you don't wash. Why is that so? You know, Jews are very big into food. Why don't we sit down to a meal with bread? So the answer is okay, there are many answers to this question. Like, what we discuss is one answer is because bread has an element of curse. B'zeas apecha toicha lechem. When a chassan kal are starting off their life, it's not kedai to have any zech. You don't want to have any mention of curse. B'zeas apecha toicha lechem. Bread is a necessity. Fruit, the entire essence of fruit is a luxury item. It's purely a luxury item. That Chazal say, let's say there would be no such thing as fruit in this world. Can we survive? No apples, no oranges, no coconuts. No, you name all the fruits. Go to the fruit store, shut down. All there is in this world are the five grains. There's fish, the five grains, meat, milk. We would survive just fine. There's enough protein. All of the things that a person needs to live can be found in grains and let's include vegetables, and in meat, fish. There's plenty of nutrients. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to create in this world fruit? We can do away with fruit. We don't need fruit. And the answer is, fruit is symbolic of luxury. You don't need to drive a Tesla. You can get away driving. You see the Mercedes-Benz, right? You don't even drive a Mercedes. You can get away driving. You can get away driving even a Chevy. Okay, even that's not so today. You don't need the fanciest automobile.
A yoga.
A what?
A yoga.
What's that?
A yoga. That was the for Yugoslavia. They cut it. It came out as $5,000 in the early 80s.
Okay, you don't need to drive the fanciest car, even driving the simplest car. But yet, in this world, Klosh Baruch Hu created luxury. All luxury items are rooted in fruit. Fruit, the peros, so ilan, are things that are not necessary, and it's a luxury item. A chosen kala begins their life with fruit. The goal is, you know, you send someone a fruit basket. Adam HaRishon from the Eitz Hadas. It's very, you're saying a very good point. You think, okay, that Adam HaRishon, what would they have in their engagement party? Because Baruch Hu introduced Adam to Chava. So before they got married, there must have been an engagement party. The engagement party must have been eating from the gan. The gan is an orchard. What's it an orchard? Orchard is a place of fruit. An orchard is not a place of bread. It's not as right. It's the gan. The Eitz Hagan. The gan. Gan Eden is a place of kisamecha yitzircha big gan Eden mikedem. The word gan means an orchard. An orchard does not have grain. An orchard has fruit. When a chosan and kala commit to marry, you're going back to Gan Eden. Gan Eden is a place of fruit. You don't sit down to wash and eat bread in Gan Eden. When you get to the wedding, then reality sinks in. Okay, the wedding is b'zeah sapecha teich alechem. Who's paying for this? That's when the curse begins. I mean, whatever. It's the whole process of life really begins in when the marriage. So marriage includes a bread meal. So here we have. Okay, now I want to develop this a little bit further. Okay, Mr. Rapport, it's like, okay, I'm trying not.
I can see that as a Sheva Brochus speech, Rabbi.
What?
Don't
wedding, Sheva Brochus has to have bread. You can't make the Sheva Brochus unless you have bread.
Don't use that speech for the Sheva Brochus.
You have to have bread by Sheva Brochus. It's only the engagement. Have you ever...
I hear what I'm saying. Don't use that speech for the Sheva Brochus. It ain't going to go over very well.
Okay, now let's just go a step further. When it comes to fruit, represents an entirely different concept. And what is fruit? Fruit is under the influence of the moon. Okay, the gravitational pull of the moon has a major, major effect on the quality of fruit. And it's interesting that Chazal, our calendar, is based on the moon. It's based on the moon correcting. It's basically a lunar solar calendar. We follow the moon, but we have to correct the moon's cycle every couple of years with an Ibiyar, so it's a lunar solar. It's where the moon, to a certain degree, is dominant over the sun. Because Klal Yisrael, we're not just here to get by. There's a certain luxury of being a Jew. Klal Yisrael, Lenege, Le'umas Olam, it's a luxury life. Le'umas Olam, it's a life of Just the basics. Klal Yisrael, when you're dealing with life, our calendar is based upon the moon, just like the moon's influence is dominant when it comes to fruit, whereas grain, the dominant force of grain is the sun. Therefore, when Klal Yisrael, we calculate the moon, we're basically living a life of Peres. And all that goes with Peres, represents children, the purpose of marriage is to have children, and Klal Yisrael, when we relate to the moon, in Mekabel Pnei Ashchina, it's an entirely different approach to life. However, you can't deny the fact that the Shemesh has what to offer also. There's some advantage to the Shemesh. So even amongst the fruit, there are different types of fruit. Dried fruit brings with it the milus of both. It brings with it the milus of the Levana, because the Levana is what nurtures and brings into this world the food. But when you put this food in the sun, have it bake in the sun, and the sun enhances the fruit by drawing out the excess and giving it more flavor, then you have a product that was fashioned originally by the Levana, but was further enhanced by the Shemesh. Dealing with the fruit of the Shnei Hamoiros Hagedolim. Adam before the first Chet. What are the first Chatoim? What was one of the first Chet? It was before man. Man's sin was not the first sin. There were other sins. The earth did not listen to Hashem. The earth was told to produce fruit. Eitz Peri. Okay, he was told to produce eitz peri, which means tam eitz ketam apri. The earth did not listen. It was choyte. The moon. Okay, the moon also did not listen. The moon said ein shnei malachim b'sham shem b'keser echad. Now it's not a coincidence that those two sins really go together. Why was it that the earth, the fruit, the trees, did not listen to Hashem? That Hashem says, I want it, when it comes to fruit trees, I want it to be eitz peri. Tam eitz ki tam peri. The taste of the tree, the wood, should equal the taste of the fruit. Well, the part of the answer is that a fruit tree is under the influence of the moon. And the moon was choyte. The moon sinned. The moon saw itself as an equal to the shemesh. And Ribbono Shel Olam, ein shnei melachim mishamshim bekeser echad. So what did Hashem say? That's not a nice thing to say. How dare you? You're complaining. You can't share the spotlight, the limelight with the shemesh. Lechi mimati esatzmich. A tree has also two kings. There is the bark, and there is the fruit. The chitzoin and the pnim. A tree has bark, has the wood, which brings forth the fruit, and then the fruit. So they're both creatures of Hashem, and originally the plan was tam eitz kitam pri. But isn't that a violation of the principle ein shnei melachim mishamshim bekeser echad? How can you have a tree where the wood is delicious and the fruit is delicious? A tree is supposed to produce, the crown is supposed to produce. They're two very different items. What's the ikur? What's the tafel? So the answer is, so big deal. What's so hard? You can share the limelight. They'll be delicious. You have an apple tree. There's delicious apple wood. And there's delicious apples. What's the problem? So the problem is that the wood said to the Hashem, how could it be that we're both going to be equal? The wood is going to equal the delicious taste of the apple. Ein shnei melachim mishamshim bekeser echot. So Hashem said, "Oh, you're complaining. Lechi mimati es atzmech. You know what? You wood. You're complaining. You'll taste like a piece of wood. You'll be reduced to nothing." Now it doesn't say this anymore. I just made up a whole thing. But what I just made up is not really being made up, because this really parallels what happened between the shemesh and the levana. Why? Because a tree, a fruit tree, is under the influence of the moon. This is something you can Google. This is something which Chazal say it's under. And because the moon was choyte, by complaining there cannot be two equals, mimela, it trickled down to all of the products that are under its influence, including primarily the tree, a fruit tree, is also going to be what's supposed to be two equals, wood and fruit, both equal in flavor. And now, you know what? You don't go for this sharing moon. You don't want to share the limelight with the sun. So all this is your nature. You're not willing to share. Therefore, all of the items in this world that are under your influence, under your influence, there's also going to be this problem that two items are not willing to share the limelight. So even though Hashem commanded originally that the tam eitz, tam pri should be equal, no, l'chi mimati esatznich, the wood was diminished. The wood has no flavor. Yeah.
I have a question. You had told us before that Hashem admitted that he made a mistake. So if you apply it to what you just said.
Okay, what that means, let's put it out of the equation, because you can't say Hashem made a mistake. That's a separate, very, very, it's not a contradiction what I'm saying. There are thousands of dimensions in every Maamar Chazal. That's another point. L'chi matias atzmech, and Hashem says, chatas l'Hashem, bring a carbon for me. How can you say Hashem made a mistake? Hashem atzur tamim pe'olo ki chol durochav mishpat. Hashem is perfect. Tzadik Hashem b'chol durochav v'chosir b'chol ma'asav. So what does this mean? In fact, on the side of the Gemara, some of the editions, it writes, there's a note on the side of the Gemara where the Gemara brings this down, Chulin, and other places where it brings down this Gemara. The Gemara says, don't even try to understand what this means. This is something which is so off the charts, to say that Hashem made a mistake, and Hashem says, I need a kapara, bring a carbon for me. It sounds very nice in words, but it goes against the grain of our entire hashkafa. It goes against the grain of almost everything else that it says in the Torah itself. Berakadosh Baruch Hu. It's a question, okay? But this is not a contradiction whatsoever to what we just said. Yeah.
No, but why is it not a contradiction? It's a parallel to
Rosh Chodesh,
the shrinking of the moon. On a very simple level,
L'chi Mati, Hashem bring carbon for me means you will never understand my ways. But because you're so limited, and in your understanding, I made a mistake. So Hashem, He plays along with us. It's like a father, he makes a mistake. He says something, he has a 3-year-old child, and he made a mistake. And the child says, "Dad, it's not fair what you've done. You gave him the toy, not me. You did this." And the father says, "My son, you're right. You got me. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to patch myself." So the father in front of the 3-year-old kid, he gives himself a patch. The father goes, "I made a mistake, I did a bad thing, so I'm going to patch myself." The father, it's a joke, right? But in the mind of the 3-year-old child, it makes sense. The child's angry at his father, because the child gets a patch when the child does something wrong, and now he sees his own father made a terrible mistake, so the father deserves patch. So the father plays along with the child and says, "Okay, you're right, you got me, I'm going to give myself patch." We know as adults, it's ridiculous. But we, Kineged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are 3-year-old children. And we have complaints. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "You just don't understand. You don't. Where are you coming from? You're nothing. You don't understand how this world works. You don't understand why things are. But listen, let me play along with you, my child. I'll give myself patch." But Hashem is not giving himself patch. It's a joke. You're touching upon a topic which is totally beyond the scope of what we talk about. I just want to bring out this point. Over here, The fruit is a product of the moon. The moon complained, was guilty of the very first sin in creation. Before the chait of Adam HaRishon, it was guilty. It complained to Hashem, "Hashem, this world you've created, it's not fair." Hashem played along, and Hashem says, "Okay, you're right. Balachi mimati es atzmech, you're going to have to suffer the consequences." The moon represents an object which complained, which has a complaint where it does not want to share. There's a lack of sharing. It's an element of ein shnei melachim misham shemikeser echad. That midah has expressed itself on all of the items in this world which are tofel under the influence of the moon, especially fruit, which directly under its influence. And you see it clear in the fact that eitz peri, eitz oise peri, that it's only going to be an eitz that is oise peri. It can't be that the wood and the fruit are going to share the limelight and both having the mile of being delicious. Now, however, when Mashiach will come, when the Kates Hayamin will come, then that chait of the moon will be restored. Chazal say the moon will one day be restored to its glory. Therefore, it's bedav. Where do you see that parallel in the fruit being restored? That principle is expressed in koyitz, in summer fruit, in dried fruit, specifically in dried figs. Why dried figs? Because a dried fig is a fruit which came into this world through the influence of the moon, and now is going to share its chashivos with the sun. How does the fruit share its chashivos with the sun? You put the fruit on the roof and you let it bake in the sun. And then you put it into an eagle-shelled veiler. And what do you got? You got a product. Two Me'oiros HaGedoylim are equally sharing the koyach, the delicious nature of this item. It came into this world through the koyach of the moon, but yet the sun had an equal influence in having it dry out and produce a delicious, enhancing its delicious taste. So in this kayitz, in this dried fig, what do you have in front of you? You have in front of you the shnei hame'oirois hagedoylim. the moon who brought it into the world and the sun that baked it. And what is that? When will that happen in this world? In the Ketz Hayomin, the end of days, when Mashiach will come, then the world will be restored to its original plan where Shnei Milochim can be Meshamesh B'Keser Echad. It won't be a contradiction. So that is why Chazal have cleverly, or even Tanakh, have cleverly labeled a dried fig with the term Koyetz. Miloshein Ketz. Because the world began Shemesh Levana. Shnei Me'oris HaGadolim. When the world began, we were like children. It's not fair. I can't share my toys. Like a kindergarten. Everyone's fighting over the same toy. Hashem says, you're right, you're a bunch of babies. You can't share this world. So you know what? You know what? One person will be the Shabbos Tati, and the other one will sit in the corner. Okay, we're gonna, but when Mashiach will come, we will be restored to that Shnei Hama'oiris HaGadolim. You'll be able to share your toys. And this idea is beautifully expressed in the principle of dry figs. Because a dry fruit, by definition, is a product of the moon. And the moon was one that was choyte. And then when you take that product, you let it sit and bake in the sun. You're giving the sun equal opportunity. Okay, now, nice custom word for this generation. Equal opportunity. The sun and the moon have cast equal influence over this product. Oh, sun and the moon are living in harmony together, and it's found in one fruit. That's times of Mashiach. That's Mashiach. That's right. That's why it's called Koyetz. Ketz. Yeah.
But I have a thing about that point. The Zmanim are adjusted by the sun.
Correct.
And we know that the long length of the daylight, it depends on the sun.
Okay.
So it makes a difference if it's frost on the could be frost in April, but the trees already growing because the daylight is long.
Okay.
So they respond. So, and another thing, we adjusting our even holidays based on the daylight. We don't say, we're adding additional months. It should be always in the same time of the year. But the months is only the time, counting of the time is along the
moon. There's a balance. There is a balance between the sun and the moon. I'm just focusing very specifically on fruit. But let me read you the pasuk.
The pasuk
is where is that pasuk? Let me read you this pasuk to bring out. You give me these funny looks, telling you some deep stuff, like morale type of stuff. You don't like this. Not everyone goes to this type of stuff. I know. I know all too well.
My moon is the boss.
What?
My moon is the boss.
Your moon is the boss?
Yep.
Okay, v'zois ha-bracha, sheish ul Yosef Omar. Okay, Arayevsky is amazing. How he knows how to remember. Mivareches Hashem Arzo, mimeged. What is the translation of the word mimeged? It means opposite. Or it means also the influence that the Mimeged Shamayim Mital. So let's find what's the very precise translation. Shahisa Arzo Pesucha Lechama Umam Tekes Haperos. Okay, the Tavua, it's unbelievable how it says this. The negation that Rashi makes it very, very clear is that grain is under the influence of the sun. That's why it's called Umimeged Tavuos Shomesh, opposite. Mimeged means like neged. Neged means opposite. And in this context, it means under the influence. Umimeged tivuos shomesh. The tivu, you have to translate the words out of order. Tivua, the middle word of this expression, grain, is mimeged, corresponds the quality of the grain that you eat, that you produce, is mimeged, is proportional, is relative to its stance, its position, opposite the shomesh. In Eretz Yisrael, they say this is the most delicious bread. Correct?
Yeah.
Why? Because they have the best grain. Why do they have the best grain? It's a geographic reality. There's very little humidity. There's very little humidity. And the days and the position of where it is relative to the sun, I guess the altitude is just right. If the altitude is too high, it's too dry. If it's too low, it's too wet. And if you live in part of the world where there's too much humidity, it's also no good. There is a magic. There is a hashkacha in the Middle East, the Klal, and the Eretz Yisrael Befrat is in a part of the world that's just perfect. It's just perfect. The typography and the altitude, where it is relative to the rays of the sun, is able to produce a grain of quality that is second to none. Umimeged tivuo shamesh, the tivua, its position relative to the rays of the sun is perfect and produces unbelievable grain, tivua. And now comes the next words, which is in the Chumash, which scientifically was not understood until relatively speaking recent times, modern times. Umimeged geresh yirochim. What is geresh? Yesh Rashi, geresh. Geresh is a very hard word to translate. Rashi translates it as fruit. Yesh peiros, there are fruits. Shehalavona miva shalton. The moon, it's the influence of the moon that causes them to ripen. The eluhein, kishuin, vidiluin. He talks about different melons. These are really vegetables. He's calling them the peros ha'adama, but the Chazal, they really expand upon this Rashi, and they tell us all food is like this. Davar acher, geresh yirochim, sha'aretz migareshes motziya mechodesh l'chodesh. But yirochim means the moon, the yerach ha'levana. It is the moon. Geresh means fruit. Rashi here limits it to vegetables, kishu and melons. Targum, I believe, expands. It says v'avda migdonin meresh yarcha b'yach. That's a different Chazal. It makes fruit. Migdonin means fruit. Every single month, umimeged every the yarech means monthly. So the Targum is not working with this approach. Rashi expresses this idea. Meged means the influence. Geresh is fruit. Yerachim is the moon, the Levana. Rashi doesn't say what I said fully. Other Rishonim do say it. Other Rishonim do analyze it, especially today, we know based upon science. They expand upon this. If you Google this later on to see what I'm saying is correct. And that is, Tevua is under the influence of the Shomesh. Umimeged Geresh, fruit is under the influence, the megid of the yoreach, the moon. Moon is a problem. Every time you mention the moon, it's called the pegima salavana. The moon is pogum because the moon complained. The moon is deficient. There's something lacking in the moon. The moon complained, and the moon will not be restored to be malois, the pegima, the defect of the moon will not occur until the times of Mashiach. What is the defect of the moon? The moon did not want to share the limelight with the Shemesh. The Shnei HaMa'oris HaGadolim was reduced to the Ma'or HaGadol, the Ma'or HaKoton. And that came out in everything about the moon, in the fruit, Tam Eitz Ketam Pri. It was supposed to be Eitz Pri, didn't want to share, so it's only going to be the fruit, not. When will that all be restored? When the Shnei HaMa'oris HaGedoylim indicates HaYomin. Where is there a dogma of Bizman HaZef? Kates HaYomin, where the sun will be, where the moon will be restored. When you take a fruit, and the fruit allows itself to sit in the hot-baked sun, and to be dried out and produce something delicious, and now you have a product which has both the element of the moon, the Geresh Yerachim, plus the heat of the sun has transformed it. Wow, it's sharing the limelight. This is a product of the Shnei HaMa'oris HaGedolim. We're living in times of Mashiach. That's exactly why it's called Kates or Koyets. Okay, so this is going over here, Nevuah. We're going back to this pasuk over here where he says over here, this beautiful Nevuah, the Kluv Koyets, the basket of Koyets, the basket of dried fruit. Hashem is showing almost a Nevuah relating to the end. On a very simple level, the end over here is not a good end. The end over here is when the Aseres HaShvatim are going to go into exile. But there's no doubt about it, on another level, Hashem over here is showing him the end of days. Yimos HaMashiach. Every single Nevuah can be understood on many different levels. Okay, so that was our...
The reference in the Yigdal, when it says...
Those who yearn for the Kates.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Kates. Okay, so now with that being said, let's now go and continue where we left us. So on Friday we did the Mitzudos, we did the Rashi, we also did the Radak. Okay, we did all of the Radak. Okay, now we're up to the Malbim. The Malbim is very, very fascinating. The Malbim talks about the number 65. The number 65 is a very interesting number. Let's see over here. Go back to the beginning of Perikhes. On page 355. Koi Hirani Hashem. So Hashem Shomi Gam Zemidaber Hanavil Al Amatzia. Omar Lo Shemash Nemar Lo Benevua She Yishol Golo Yigle Her Ohu Oisoi B'machaz. Hashem is showing over here Amatzia. Hashem is showing Omois. To tell a matzah about the churban that's going to come to the Aseres HaShvatim, shat siur shenitztayer b'machazel lifnei anavi moira shagzirin nechritza v'savel kolponim, that Hashem now has sealed the verdict. There is no escape. There's going to be a very big churban. Ubi'er ha'machazel shechaz abosh ha'Hashem heruahu kulav kayitz. Hashem showed to almost a basket of summer fruit. Ha'kulav hu kli. Kulav is a very unusual word. Okay, do you ever remember used having the word klo before? I never remember seeing the word klo before. To me, it's all new. The word klo. If you look at the Mitzudos Tzion, he writes that we had it before. We did have it. We learned Yirmi once upon a time. We came to him kiklov mole oif, a klo that's full of oif. Oif normally is a bird. Okay, I don't remember that pasuk for some reason. Yirmi hey, I used to chaz Yirmi klo mole oif. Got to go back there. Okay, but it means a basket full of birds. Klov hu kli shem yuchel haniach rashi. Go back to the Malbim. The Malbim says beginning at 355, pasuk aleph in the middle. Hero dibur hamaskel klov koyitz ha klov hu kli shem yuchel haniach by oifos. A klov really is a basket that's not meant for fruit. It is a basket that's meant to hold birds. Birds klov hu kli shem yuchel haniach by oifos. Asher yotzur hatzayot, k'moshe kasev and yirmiyah kichlub molei oif kibatem molei mirma. Their baskets are full of birds because their homes are filled with mirma. These words, they're ganavim. They use these birds as a way of a technique to draw the birds of other people to them to steal them. V'yakayit same to einim. V'derech laniach oisam b'sal loy bichlov. It's the wrong word. The Malm over here is opening up a whole new dimension in this Nevuah that no one on the page has discussed so far. And that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing almost something very, very strange. He's showing him a kluv mole kayitz. If you want to show him a kluv, it should be a kluv that is filled with birds. If you want to show him the kayitz, it should be a sal mole kayitz. Hashem is showing him something that is very unusual. He's showing him a kluv that really should hold birds filled with figs. What's going on over here? So therefore he says, what do you see almost? He's challenging him. What over here are you seeing over here that does not make sense? What's not normal? So he told him, I see klov koyitz. These two things are separate. Each one should not be combined. Sheikh Yanichu Kayitz Bichlov. The Hey Shiv Losha Kayitz for Hinaklov Murim Al Osilova Al Yisholsha Kayitz Moira Kivo Hakates El Ami Yisrael. The end is coming to my people. Shukumosha Kayitz Husoif Asifa Saperos. The Evshol Havir Es Azman. Just like Kayitz represents the end. Kain Bo Hakates O Achor Nashalo Oisif Oil Avarloi Velo Yishtane Velo Yidoche Lizman Acher. The end is near. The end is near. Now he's not coming to explain. He has not explained the significance. Well, he is trying to explain. Let's read these words one more time. Let's read the words. Kiboa kayitz alami, kimoisha kayitz. Just like the figs, the dried figs, this is a symbol of the end. Because the dried figs, we learned before in the Radak. The Radak explained that there are two elements of the end that relate to figs. Number one, figs, you do not remove from the tree until they are fully harvested. There are certain types of fruits where you can remove them from their source early on. For example, grain. Grain you remove early shachas. In fact, when you want to feed to animals, animal fodder, you have to cut it when it's a third grown, shachas. Grapes, boiser. Okay, grapes, early grapes, there is such a thing where you want grapes when they are not fully developed for certain purposes. There's certain sick, there's a certain quality that a grape has when it's in its early state of development, which is ideal for certain products. So this coming called boiser. Bone, and they, I don't know all the different types of fruits, but when it comes to figs, it appears from Chazal, it is unique in its nature that you wait until the very, very end. No ands, if, buts. And what's the proof to this? Explain the principle. Bikurim. Rashi tells us that when a farmer, what was the technique? Rashi goes out of his way to tell us something very interesting about Bikurim. Every year, a farmer has an obligation to bring to the Beis HaMikdash Bikurim. And Rashi tells, what's the process? You go out into the field and you look for the figs. You bring Bikurim from the Shiva Saminim, not just from figs. But Rashi says, you look, when has the fig begun to develop? And you see a fig budding, you take a blade of grass off the ground, and you tie it around the budding fig as a reminder, a ribbon, this fig has just begun to bud. And then you come back at the time of harvest, you come back a couple of months later, and you look among the figs, and you see, oh, here's that blade of grass, it's still here. The blade of grass, it's still the some remnant, and oh, you cut off specifically that fig, and you put that fig into your basket with other fruits, obviously, and you go to the Beis HaMikdash. Wait a minute, why only when it came to the fig did Rashi tell us you tie a blade of grass around the fig? The Bikurim comes from the Zayin Minim. Let me read you the Rashi to show you that I'm not making this up. Okay, Parashas Kisavai. Shaiftim Kiseitse Kisavai. Very beginning. Okay, Bereishis. Rashi over here says, you shall bring from the Reishis, Bikuri Admoscha, Rashi here says Mereshis, Adam Yoyreid Lesoich Sodehu, Veroye Te'ena, a fig, She Bikra, that's beginning to bud, a Bahar, that's beginning to blossom. Koyreich Oleha Gimi, you tie a blade of grass, Lesimin, Veoimer, Hare Ze Bikurim, period. Rashi is over. Fig? Why only a fig? What about the dates? What about the olives? What about the grain? Well, do they bring grain? They do. The Shiva Saminim, the fruits, certainly. Okay, whatever it is. But you certainly bring, you bring, why only the fig? You tie a blade of grass. The answer is because the fig, from all of the items that you will bring for Bikurim, is going to be the last one to harvest. It's the Gemar. It's the end. You'll harvest your olives, you'll harvest your grapes, you'll harvest your dates. They'll be long gone harvested. The last thing to harvest are the figs. That's why if you want to capture the whole scope, the whole spectrum of Bikurim, the first thing you're going to be misamein are the figs. Because when you bring Bikurim, you want to capture the beauty, the shevach, the praise Hashem from the beginning to the end. Okay, from the very beginning. I remember a guy once, he said to me, I got married. And then so many years ago, for some reason, since my money, he says to me, I got married, and you can have children, And he always, the thing in his mind, children, give them to me when they're ready, 3-4 years old. Can't deal with a baby, an infant. It's just not for my mind. I can't wrap my mind around dealing with an infant. I can wrap my mind around dealing with a toddler. And then I remember he said to me, but you know something? It was such a fascinating thing for me to raise my child as an infant. It was the most amazing thing that I never expected, such an experience. To deal with a newborn, a one-day-old baby, and to take him to the bris, pinyin haben, and every stage, it blew my mind. It's something, an experience I never expected to enjoy, to appreciate, until it actually happened.
Who said that?
This series. Someone, one of my relatives, he told me about this, about how life, you don't understand what Hashem has in mind for you. He's yeshiva, I'm going to get married, and have children. I can't deal with the infants. Just not my thing. I can deal with toddlers and little kids that I'm looking forward to, but not at this stage. And he said, Adarabba, when it comes to fruit, same thing. Yeah, fruit. You want to use the experience as a way of giving hoidah to Hashem. Ala oretz, the whole parasha of Bikurim is such a beautiful bracha to give shevach to Hashem. Yata hine hevesi and bring us reishis pri hodama. What element of the experience, what tekuf of the experience of the first fruits of your crop are you coming to praise Hashem? When it's ripened, fully ripened, delicious, I have a practice, you can eat something. Or when you come out in the Chodesh Aviv, in the springtime, and you see it's already half blossomed, delicious. But when it first begins to bud, that's not for me. I'm not willing to go out in the middle of the winter and go look for the bud. It's too cold outside. I'm not interested in going out and looking for the little teeny buds. No. When it comes to a fig is the perfect fruit to fully absorb and appreciate the scope of Hashem's bracha from beginning to end. You go out when it first begins to bud and you tie a blade of grass. You know why you're going to be dafka, tie a blade of grass on the fig and not on the other fruits? Because the fig is going to be the last thing you're going to harvest. Grapes, you can harvest early. Dates, you can harvest early. Olives, you can harvest early. But figs, there's no benefit. And that's why figs are called cates. Cates means the end. It's the last thing to go. Because it's the last thing to go, and because it's going to be part of your Bikurim, it's got to be the first. Zel umazet, to capture the scope, it's going to be the first thing you're going to do. You're going to go out into the field, and you're going to look for that fig, that buzz, and you're going to tie a blade of grass. That's why bedaska by figs, you tie the blade of grass, because you want to capture the full scope. Okay, so we have over here, that's one element. And the second element of the figs is, after it actually goes, you take the fig outside, and you take it to the roof, and you let it bake in the sun. And how long do you let it bake in the sun? Till the very end of the summer. No shortcuts. There's no shortcuts. So you have another element of end with regard to figs. It's the last thing to harvest, and you let it sit on the roof until the very end of the summer, until it fully absorbs all everything that the sun has to offer. So it's another element of cates. That is why the Radak taught us that figs are called cates. Have these two elements of the end. Therefore, it is the perfect moshul for Hashem's message, the end is here. The end has arrived. I've run out of patience with you. I've had patience and patience and patience. I've waited, waited, waited. But that's it. It's now over. The end is here. There's no more waiting anymore. The end is here. The Aseres HaShvatim, they will go into exile. That's why we're using the Kates. Why are we using the Kluv? So over here, the Malm explains, Hero Kluv Kaitzak, one more time these words in the Malm on page 355 on Pasuk Aleph, HaKluv HuKli Shemyuchel Le'anich Boi Oifes, Ashayotzed Bo'o, Pasuk Beis, let's go down to the middle of Pasuk Beis in the Malbum. Kibo Akeitz Al Amishol, Shekimo, Sheakayetz HuSoif Asias Asifas Peros. Okay, that's when the summertime. The summertime is the end. I'm just trying to really incorporate what we learned in the Radak, but he's saying something a little bit different. But the summertime is the end of the tkuv when you gather, we harvest the fruits. The Iev Shola Haviras Azman, that's it. You can't delay any longer. Kain Bo Akeitz HuAcharoin. The end has come. Asher lo asif od avor lo, v'lo yishtane v'lo yidoach l'zman acher. Now, why the kluv? Okay, why is the kluv? He's not really telling us. He doesn't really seem to say the significance of the kluv. I must have missed something here. In the kluv, is not the right utensil for the koyitz. The sal is the correct utensil. To go back up one line, kluv koyitz sheshnei ele mufloim eich yaniach koyitz bichluv. Veheshevlo shea koyitz v'chein kluv moirim. I guess the al osid lovo al yisrael. Let's go further. Let's see. Maybe he explains in the next. Maybe I missed it in the next malbum. Maybe he'll clarify. He really just goes in to explain the significance of has 65. Has is bigamatria 65. Let's take a look past the gimel. Veililu shirois heichel bayomahu hashirois shahayu mishayirim baheichel hoalilim. These songs, he's learning the heichel as a reference to the churches, to the places of idol worship. The songs that you used to sing in these idol in these places of worship, yishapu will be transformed lilala into mourning, wailing. Ki avuram bo hapur anios. It's because of the avodah zarah. Why are you going to suffer? Here he explains, and this that it's put in the kluv. Now he says something different, which we did not see before. He said before that it's full of birds, living birds. He says no. He says that a kluv is a utensil that you put dead birds. That's what it says. It's miyuchot. Okay, so that's a chiddush. It does not mean a basket for living birds, a basket for dead birds. Balirmois, the next pasuk, that peger, the dead bodies of the Jewish people, they will be strewn all over the place because the end is here. Ki rav hapeger sheyia hapeger rav ki pigri oifos hanitzodim ad sheyinuchu, like birds that are dead, that have been trapped. Dead birds that have been captured and are lying in these utensils. B'chol makoim v'lo yisharoi klum ba'klov. There'll be nothing left over in the klov.
The way I understood it is that they're just like the birds are dead. The dried food is food that's dried out and nothing left. They're dried out. It's over for them.
Uh-huh. It's a whole different interpretation.
That's
is that
I
dry? The
it.
Bodies are dry. Atzamos hayivation, dry bones, and the kluv is a place for the dead. So it's going
to
be like the dead.
That's why it's
interesting.
Using the term
it's a very nice shot. Different than we're learning over here. It's going to be like the Jewish people that dried up and they're dead. These aseres hashvatim are dead.
Out.
They're shriveled out, and they're in a kli that's miyuchid for the dead. It's a very frightening.
That's the way when I was sitting Friday Shabbat side, that's the way it appeared to me. That was my impression.
It sounds on the mark. But for some reason over here, he's saying something a little bit different. Let's read over here. Ki rav apeger, shiya apeger rav, ki pigre oifos anitzaydim ad sheyinchu b'chol mokoyim, v'lo yisharu. He says here it's even going to be worse. It's not going to even be in the kluv. V'lo yisharu klum b'kluv. Rak hishlich minaklov shekiro haklov reik. He saw the klov, the kli that's miyuchet to hold the dead birds, empty. Biloy oifes. Ritzon loymar shetia nivlosam kasucha. It's going to be kasucha bekerav chutzais. It's going to be thrown about in the streets. So he's saying over here a very frightening thing. There's a klov. A klov at least represents a burial with dignity. That's what it seems to say. And you're not going to even get that. The dead bodies of the people are going to be strewn about and the klov will be empty. It'll be koyetz. The end is here for you. The end is here. There's no hope for you. And it's going to be kikluv, but not even the kluv will just stand empty, because where will the bodies be? As it says in the Pasuk Gimel, Ve'helilu shiva seichel b'yoy mahu, the songs that you used to sing in your temple are going to turn into wailing, numashim elukim, rav ha-peger, there are going to be a lot of dead bodies, where b'chol mokon, all over the street, all over the place. Hishlich, they're going to be cast out. They're not going to even have the dignity to be in the klov, the kates in the klov. It's going to be just thrown about. It's going to be thrown away. Further in the words of the Malbum, hishlich min haklov, shekein roi, hos. And what does it mean, hishlich hos? Mila zos ein la be'ur. So the Malbum says there is no simple translation for the word hos, even though we translate it two ways to translate it so far. Silence. Silence, that was one translation. It means people were told, quiet, don't complain, don't challenge Hashem, you deserve what you get. And the other interpretation was, remove. Hishlich, pick it up and get it out of here. Remove it, remove the bodies. So he says, no, I'm not satisfied with that. Those interpretations. Milas v'ein la beyor. V'nire, shohoyel anavi oy dover echol legalois. There was another prophecy that was on those lips. Isn't it scary what he's saying over here? There was another prophecy that Amos was about to say. He was about to come out of his mouth. V'yore legaloisoi mipnei hasakana. And he was afraid. V'omar hos. And he said hos. What does hos mean? Tzorich lishtoik. Okay, so again, he's going back to what we learned in the Mitzvot. The Hos means silence. Has kol basar, silence. What? Let's see. Maybe, let's see. Who knows? Let's see what he says. He was afraid to be got hasak. Maybe they'll kill him. Pashim Shadi is if Gon will tell them bad news, they'll kill him. Okay, well, let's see. Sarech lishtoik, shol legalois hadavar, fi hadavar shehelimoi hanavi ato perish oso Yeshaya. What? Omois did not reveal, Yeshaya revealed. Amos and Yeshaya, they lived at the same time. Okay, they parallel one another. Bamesh Amar, Uva'oid, there, he said in 65 years. That's why Has is Bigamatria, He Samach is 65. Uva'oid, Shishim, Uchameh Shanim, Yechas, Ephraim, Am will be diminished. Yechas means to be lowered. It will be diminished from a nation. Sheperusha, Uva'oid, Shishim, Uchameh Shanim, Me'esh, it's not be Amos. From the day that Amos made this prediction, from this day, 65 years from this day, is when the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim would be complete. She Yisrael Golo Yigla Mialad Moso, Shemei Esahi Ad Golos Aseres HaShvatim, Hoy says exactly, Samach He Shono. And he did not say that, she did not say the number 65, he just said, Has, I'm going to be silent. But Has is also the Gematria 65, he was hinting, is that this horrible Nevuah, that I said, I'm not going to spell out for you when it's going to happen. I'm afraid if I'll tell you when it's going to happen, you're going to kill me. I'm going to be silent. But I'm being merames with the gematria of Has. Yeshaya didn't hold back, and Yeshaya said it was going to be in 65 years. V'loi motzanu b'divrei Amos shehigbil azman b'fershi. We never find in Sefer Amos where actually he defined. He clearly defined the day when it would happen. Ki nitzavah, he was commanded shaloi legalois bebeor, not to reveal it with clarity, with elaboration. Rak beremes umesara bekabol levnei anavim, was given over by the mesara to the other prophets. Yeshaya viamar has hos ritzon lematzach lishtoik. Ubachav milazos shemispodes samachei. It's the gematria of 65. Sheboi. Romas, I'm turning now to the next page, on page 357, the beginning of the Be'er Ha'in, the Malbum. Sheba'oid, Samach, Heishonim, Kamin Hos, Yia, Hadover Hazev, Atam, Shlo, Gila, Azazman, Beferish, Hum, Kianovi, Shen Yinabe, Al Puronios, Asida, Beloizman, Loyera, Zebeine Ha'on. As long as a Novi does not give a calendar date, then everyone, he gets away with, no one's going to kill him. Ki Yoidim, Shehayudim, Horoim, Yishtanu, Lipam, because they knew. The people knew that just because a Navi says bad news, bad predictions, it can change. Nothing is etched in stone. As but once a Navi gives a date, this is a very fascinating principle in prophecy. You write an encyclopedia on prophecy, all the rules of prophecy. And here is another rule you add to the list in prophecy, is that a Navi can say whatever he wants. Doesn't mean anything, because you do teshuva, teshuva, you clap al chait, it'll change. But if a Navi gives a date, that is something which, even though it's Puranus, and you could argue, so what? Just because you give a date, Puranus can always be cancelled. No. Even Puranus cannot be cancelled if there is a calendar date. That's why sometimes we have prophecies that are used, we are couched in the terms Yomim Rabim. It's way, way ahead. It's not today. Okay? And Ava, what is probably the ultimate example of this? What is the ultimate example of this? This is something where Chizkiyahu. Yeshaya said to Chizkiyahu, you've done a terrible avera. What was the avera? Was it Chizkiyahu? You've taken Baladan, the grandfather of Nebuchadnezzar, and you've taken and you've shown him the Kodesh. Who was it? He took into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Who was the one they took into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? He showed him. I think it was the grandfather or the father of Nebuchadnezzar. He came. He heard about the miracle that he was healed, and how the sun stopped or the sun went backwards. And he took him into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to show him, give him a tour. He was a tour guide, Chizkiyahu. And Yeshaya says, how dare you take a guy into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and show him the Oroin and the Luchais. And because of this, Hashem is goyzer that this man's grandson will one day come and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Perek ends with the most bizarre thing possible and says, okay, good. As long as it's not going to happen in my lifetime. Okay, that's the end. It says that in both two places, in Yeshaya and in Malachim. What? What does that mean? Yeshaya tells him he did a terrible Avera, as long as the consequences of my Avera will not happen in my life. Everyone struggles, what in the world? And there's some very beautiful interpretations of what this means. But based upon what the Malbim says, you don't need to come on to such elaborate interpretations. He says, listen, Yeshaya, you told me I did an Avera. Okay, what else is new? I did an Avera. And you tell me there's any consequences? All right, what else is new? As long as you have not given me a calendar date, you did not tell me when the Churban Beis HaMikdash will occur. You told me it's not going to happen today. It's going to happen in the next generation. Yomim Rabim. No. By that time, my children, they'll be in Koilo. They'll be sitting and learning. They'll do Teshuvah. All will be forgiven. Everything will be fine and good. That's based upon what the Malbim says. That's really. I think it's a very satisfying answer. I'm not worried. I made a mistake. I'll do tshuva, and there's consequences. As long as the Navi, you give me Navu about Churban, as long as you do not put the Churban on the calendar, everything is okay. If a Navi puts the Churban on the calendar, that's already cannot be rescinded. That's already a grace tzar. So it's exactly what it says over here. He says, Kemo, it says in Yechezkel, Hechozon Ashehuchoze Liyomim Rabim. He saw some not nice things, but it was far, far away. That's okay. You can do teshuva to get rid of it. Aval imagdil zman mivoror. But if a Navi goes and puts on the calendar day, Zemorish azman kor v'shelo yishtan hadav b'shom oifen. That's a big problem. Over here we have the exception to this rule is 65. Yeshaya said it. He said it's going to happen in 65 years. That was it. It's over. It's curtains. Amos was going to say it also. Amos was talking to the people. Yeshaya was not talking. Yeshaya was talking to Yehuda. He wasn't talking to Yisrael, so he can get away with it. Here he's talking to the people. He talked to the people themselves with Nogea. He told them 65 years from now you're all going to be dead. Oh, that's a sakana. So Hashem said, Hos. Hoss, and he had to go, and the Gematria was revealed as Hoss. There's a secret. The Aseres Hashvatim would come to an end. The Zmana Peger and the dead bodies would be found all over the place. B'chol Mokom. Okay, so we learned here some amazing stuff today about the moon, and we learned about a new rule about prophecy. Even bad prophecy, if it's dated, you're in trouble.